Chapter 9. Cooper opened his eyes and sat upright as fast as a catapult being released. He sniffed the air. The scent was familiar, but seemed to be part of a long, forgotten past.
Bacon?
Rise and shine, fuckers! Shouted Frank.
The young elf, who'd been tending the bar the previous night, followed closely behind him, carrying two giant trays which were covered in piles of bacon.
The sun is up! It's a brand new day!
The floor came alive, with bodies moving like recently animated zombies trying to orient themselves. Only Tim was as quick to his feet as Cooper had been. Cooper frowned as Tim rushed over to the elf corner and snatched his sister's character sheet out of Julian's hand. Seeing the look of relief on Tim's face, Cooper's mind went back to the smell of bacon.
Where did you get all this bacon?
Asked Cooper. Frank kicked a dwarf who didn't seem quite motivated enough to wake up just yet.
Our rangers and druids took down a few boars a couple of days ago. We've got pork chops for lunch.
Cooper's eyes began to water.
I don't think I want to leave this place.
Well, hopefully that's a choice we'll all have to make in the not-too-distant future, said Frank. Just mind you don't fuck it up for those of us who do want to return to our homes.
He stood on a chair and raised his voice.
Now eat up, everyone! Let's make this a good day. Those of you with jobs, go to work. Bards, get on those street corners and sing your asses off. Wizards and sorcerers, start writing and brewing your most profitable scrolls and potions. Everyone else, see me for assignments. And anyone with ranks in either the local knowledge or gather information skills, please stay behind. Remember, everyone, we may have an opportunity to go home. It's a long shot, but if it works, it's going to cost money. So fucking whistle while you work.
The yawning mass of bodies unceremoniously scarfed back strips of bacon and drank cups of watered-down beer until their bellies were full and their eyes were open. About a dozen people stayed behind while everyone who knew their jobs shambled toward the exit. Before anyone could leave, the door swung open, sending an elf flying backward to fall on the floor. In the doorway stood the baddest-looking motherfucker Cooper had ever seen. The figure all but filled the doorway and actually had to duck its head under the frame to step inside. The sleepiness had gone from everyone's eyes. No one dared move nor make a sound. Now that the figure had moved in from the light of the doorway, Cooper was able to get a better look. It was another half-orc, only this one was far bigger than Cooper. Charcoal gray armor covered him from head to toe. It was dented in places. Metal patches had been welded on in others. It had seen its share of action. The helmet was the same color, save for the two horns protruding from each side. The only pieces of the armor which didn't match were the gauntlets. They were silvery blue and polished to a reflective shine.
Good morning, Frank,
said the half-orc. Frank stood up, straight atop the table.
What are you doing here, Eric?
My name,
said the giant, removing his helmet to reveal a surprisingly handsome face for a half-orc.
Is Pestilence.
His presence was enough for Cooper to take a step back, but Frank stood his ground.
Your name is Eric Weinberg. You're a pimply-faced brat who takes his books and dice home every time somebody orders something other than pepperoni on the pizza.
You forget yourself, Frank,
said Eric, or Pestilence, or whoever the fuck he was. He stepped forward, and the crowd gave him a wide berth. It only took two strides for him to be right in Frank's face. Even with Frank standing on a table, this half-orc still stood over a head taller than him.
I could tear you apart right here and now.
You can't take us all, said Frank.
Cooper wondered whether the little guy was putting up a front, was genuinely this badass, or just plain suicidal.
You forget our arrangement. We don't bother you, and you stay away from the whore's head. I repeat, what are you doing here, Eric?
Frank spoke his name as if he was daring him to make a move. Eric grinned.
Fine,
he said.
I'll just get right to it. We haven't heard from the Cavern Master in a while, and we were beginning to get concerned for our good friend Mordred. I just wanted to know if you've heard anything, that's all.
Frank broke eye contact with Eric. He was floundering.
Mordred went on vacation,
said Cooper. Somebody had to say something.
Just packed up and went to Pensacola. Said he'd be back in a week or two.
Eric walked up to stand face to face with Cooper. The The big guy had a good 30 pounds on him, and Cooper didn't think he'd be able to land more than a couple of punches before he was out of the fight, if it came to that.
"And just what the hell is this supposed to be?"
said Eric.
"I feel ashamed to call myself a half-orc standing next to you. You are an embarrassment to your race."
Cooper farted. It was quite loud.
"Ugh,"
said Eric.
"You are completely and utterly disgusting. Where's your dignity, man?"
"Sorry,"
said Cooper.
"I must have left that in your mom."
Two or three giggles broke the thick silence, but they stopped abruptly when Eric glared at the crowd, looking for the source. Eric grabbed the hilt of his sword and began to unsheathe it. He'd only drawn it a quarter of the way out when he stopped and broke eye contact with Cooper. Cooper looked around to see what had made him stop. There were at least a dozen sets of hands glowing blue, pink, and green, shining in the dreary dimness of the Horse Head common room. Julian held his fist cocked back, its familiar golden glow betraying a magic missile ready to let loose. The thought of using a pussy spell like that against someone like this was almost enough to make Cooper laugh. Then again, a dozen magic missiles might just lay this fucker down. He'd at least be walking funny on his way out. A snarl from behind Eric caught the big bastard's attention. A wolf loomed behind him, pacing back and forth between him and the door. Two more wolves lurked in the shadows, their eyes reflecting what little light there was in the room. Two cats scurried across a beam above Eric's head. A hawk flew past, presumably just to make itself known. A few rats scurried purposefully out of the crowd to glare at the intruder. Even a fat little toad hopped forward. Ravenous flapped down to land on Cooper's shoulder. Cooper, for once, was glad to have him there. Eric shoved his sword hard back into its scabbard and glared hard at Cooper.
"This isn't over."
He looked as though he wanted to continue, but dared not call Cooper by another name, lest it come back to bite him in the ass again. He turned and stomped toward the exit. He opened the door and turned around.
"This treachery shall not go unpunished."
The big bastard looked like he was going to start crying. Cooper almost felt sorry for him. Eric ducked under the frame and slammed the door behind him. The crowd remained silent. Cooper turned to Frank, expecting a scolding. It was laughable, really. He tried to convince himself, him being scolded by a gnome. But that gnome had just faced off against a bigger badass than himself. He actually felt a little nervous.
"You have a gift, my friend," said Frank.
"Huh?"
"A certain knack for saying just the right thing to push a man beyond the threshold of good judgment."
"You're not mad?"
"I damn well should be," said Frank. "That big mouth of yours could have gotten one or more of us killed."
Cooper hung his head.
"Sorry."
"It could have," Frank continued, "but it didn't. Instead, you inspired courage. You made us realize that together we are stronger than they are."
"But you said you already knew that."
"We knew it on a superficial level, but that's not the same as knowing it. You catch my meaning?"
"No."
"You made that little prick back down," said Frank. "He's not going to bother us again for quite some time."
Cooper wasn't accustomed to praise, and it felt a little uncomfortable. He could feel the blood rushing to his big leathery cheeks.
"It was nothing."
Frank gave Cooper a big friendly slap on the cheek.
"You're all right."
The little gnome stepped back to the center of his table and clapped his hands above his head.
"Nothing's changed here," he said. "All of you, go about your business. Go make some coin."
"What about the horsemen?"
asked a nearby dwarf.
"Horsemen!"
Frank spat out the word as if it was a lump of shit in his mouth.
"Eric's just run off to find some hole to cry in. You've got nothing to fear from the horsemen. Just keep your guard up, try to blend in, and watch one another's backs. You'll be okay."
And that was that. Everyone grabbed what supplies they required for the day's work ahead and exited the inn.
"Hey, listen, Frank," said Tim when most of the crowd had gone. "About the..."
"Don't even say it," said Frank. "I know you've got to go look for your sister. Take your elf friend with you, and I'll throw in a couple of guys to snoop around for information."
"Thanks."
"But I'm going to need the healer and the big bastard for another assignment."
"Fuck that," said Cooper. "I'm going to help Tim."
"We'll be okay," said Tim. "You go do whatever it is Frank needs you to do. We need brains right now more than brawn."
Cooper pursed his lips. Julian slapped Tim lightly on the arm.
"Hey."
"What?"
said Tim.
"Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Cooper. I didn't mean it like that. I'm not thinking straight. I'm worried about Catherine.
I know,
said Cooper.
We're all worried. Go find her. I'll go with Frank.
All right, Tim, said Frank. You've got yourself, the elf, a talking bird, and your sister's wolf. I'm sending Gorgonzola and Tony the elf with you as well. They'll be able to help you out with finding information. Bring some of your sister's shit with you, too. See if you can get that big wolf of hers to pick up her scent.
That's a good idea, said Tim. Thanks for your help.
Don't sweat it. Go on, get moving.
Good luck,
Dave called out as Tim's search party left the tavern.
Stuart, said Frank.
The bald guy with the hot wife stood at attention.
I need you to take the dwarf and the big guy out on werewolf duty.
What?
Said Stuart and Cooper simultaneously.
Look, said Frank. I know you two aren't the best of friends right now, but we need to do this. Think of it as a team-building exercise. You and he have the fastest feet of anyone here.
I'm not fast at all, said Dave.
I guessed as much, said Frank. But there's a good chance they'll need some healing. That's where you come in.
Listen, Frank, said Cooper. I know I look like a big bad motherfucker, but I'm still only a second-level barbarian. Dave's only a second-level cleric. And Stuart's...
Cooper noticed that Stuart was still unarmed and wearing his pajamas.
What the fuck are you, Stuart?
I'm a fourth-level monk.
Cooper laughed out loud.
A monk? Who plays a monk?
It's not as bad a class as people make it out to be if you know how to play it right.
You guys play nice together, said Frank. Keep in mind what we're working for. A chance, however small, to go home. Now get going.
Come on. Stuart said bitterly. Let's get suited up.